Yeah. Well, I'm needing that on a Thursday. I'm needing that because I'm feeling that. What's going on? Welcome to the program. Yeah, I'm not trying to deke you with it. It's not Friday. It is Thursday, but it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day because I've got a ton of great content for you. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket Cam. My name is Jim Rome. Great to have you here. All right, open phones in hour number one. The interview start in hour number two, so you want to get in right now. Hit me up. Do it today. Do it now. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. You know your drill. You pick up the phone. You lob me a telephone call. The first voice you hear does not belong to me. It belongs to the EP, Adam Hawk. He's going to ask you. That's it. The bird is going to ask you what you want to talk about. Make sure you have a good answer for him. I've said this before. Make sure you have a good answer for him. The answer should not be, hey, Hawk, just put me through. Rome's going to love my take. We need to know what it is before you get on the air. You can't wing it. You have to play your way in. So make sure you have a good answer when he says, Jim Rome Show, what do you want to talk about? If you don't want to deal with Hawk and you want to go directly to me, hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the interviews coming up in hour number two, new running back for the Arizona Cardinals, James Conner. Also in hour number two, a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, Daniel Ponce de Leon. In hour number three, another NFL draft prospect. As I mentioned to you, my job, my goal, my ambition is to interview every single potential NFL draftee before the draft itself. And I'm well on my way. The next one is Landon Dickerson. All of that and yesterday, Ben Askren, the guest of episode 170 of the Jim Rome Podcast. That went live. I want to reset that too. So this is what we're looking at. 1-800-636-8686. You want to start dialing. Let's start with some baseball. Carlos Rodon threw a no-hitter for the White Sox last night. And honestly, it was awesome. It was awesome because almost nobody throws a no-hitter and then starts their post-game interview like this guy.
And Carlos Rodon has waited a long time to see himself as this, and he is going to join us from downstairs.
What's up, man?
Carlos, dude, congratulations.
What just happened?
That might be the greatest way ever to start an interview after the biggest moment of your MLB career. That guy literally just said, quote, what's up, man? What just happened? What's up, man? What just happened? That does not sound like a guy who just threw a no-hitter. It sounds like a guy who just woke up from a nap or a weekend bender in Vegas.
What just happened?
What's up, man? What just happened? Turns in one of the all-time great post-game interviews. Like when he was asked about when he knew he had something special going on last night. He said it was in the seventh inning. And at that point, he knew it. And so did everybody else. And I mean everybody else.
After Ramirez hit that, I mean, it was 3-1 count, or I had him 3-0, and I went fastball. In that 3-1 count, he knew I was throwing a fastball. I knew I was throwing a fastball. You guys probably knew I was throwing a fastball. And someone's dog in Kentucky knew too. But when that ball was caught and it came off the bat at like 170 miles an hour, that's kind of where I started feeling it.
This dude, like, you know when, quote, someone's dog in Kentucky knows that you're throwing a fastball, then everybody knows what's coming. So you better bring it. And he did. And then this dude just kept right on rolling.
A lot of work, a lot of people, a lot of help went into this to come back, and I'm just happy. I'm happy I'm here again. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed.
Alvin, get ready to re-roll that. It's actually amazing. Check out how locked in this guy is. He calls out the ice before it comes by saying, quote, that's going to be cold. And then somehow, some way, in the midst of it all, he catches a few ice cubes in his mouth. And if you listen,
that's gonna be cold.
Yeah, it is.
a lot of work.
You can hear this dude chewing the cubes.
A lot of help.
I don't know how he caught it in his mouth, but he did. Hey, don't get this twisted either. This is not some slacker who just hopped off his skateboard, ripped a few bong hits, and then pitched a no-hitter. This dude's intense now. He's intense. His teammates have nicknamed him Hard Carl because of the intensity he brings when he needs to bear down. And Hard Carl was in the building last night. Used to be that a no-hitter in baseball was an event, right? Used to be something huge. It used to be something major. It was the kind of thing that when it happened, you remember the date. You remember the name of the guy who threw it. You remember where you were when you saw it. Now they happen so often, it's hard to even keep up, right? I mean, quick, do you know who threw the most recent no-hitter before last night? Joe Musgrove. He did it last Friday night. Do you remember the one before that? Alec Mills. He had one for the Cubs back in September. I mean, I probably could have named any pitcher from any team and you would have believed me. A while back, I actually used to say the no-hitter was the new shutout. Now, I want to be very clear about this, though. Just because there has been a rash of no-hitters, it doesn't mean they're not impressive. They are. It's still an amazing individual accomplishment. But I understand if maybe you yawn every time you see one happen now. Just don't sleep on this guy and his no-hitter, because this dude is a warrior. He was the third pick in the 2014 draft, and he went from that, third pick overall, to being non-tendered by the White Sox this offseason. I mean, this guy's been through everything, and by everything I mean all sorts of injuries. There was the sprained wrist when he slipped on the dugout steps. There was the shoulder surgery back in 17, the Tommy John surgery in 2019. There was a period when this guy could barely get above 91 on the gun with his fastball. So not only did he not look like the third pick in the draft, he looked like just a guy. And not a guy that was going to intimidate or flame anybody at all. Yet last night, one of his final pitches of the night hit 98.8, 98.8 miles per hour. Hitting near triple digits on the radar gun when you're past triple digits on the pitch count is crazy. But what's even crazier about that is that's the fastest he's thrown a pitch in 5 years. And not only was he working that no-no, he actually took a perfect game into the ninth and came this close to getting it before falling apart with the first batter.
0-2. Tapper first base side. Abreu is on it. Jose got to the bag. One gone. Will it stand?
For me, he's out at first base. I mean, Jose, the only thing he could do was lunge with a foot to first.
You got to take my word for it if you have not seen it. You just heard it, but if you have not seen it, hell of a play by the big man at first. Not that graceful, not that pretty, but it got the job done. And you know the old cliche, every no-hitter has at least that one great defensive play. And that was the one that Rodon needed. It kept the perfect game alive. Now he's two outs away. Kept the perfect game alive for another moment or so because it actually ended on the next at bat, and it ended in the worst way with a slider that did not do what he wanted it to do.
The slider, Carlos has supreme confidence in. Zach's got to block it.
Inside, Perez. He got hit by it. Perez got clipped by the slider. Wow, what a way to end the perfect game bid. Carlos is talking to him.
It actually got him off the top of the foot.
My goodness. Carlos Rodon will not be perfect tonight, but the no-hitter is still available.
You know it's going through the guy's head, right? Like, come on, man. Really? You could not get out of the way of that? But even then, normally when a guy loses a perfect game, then they lose the no-hitter right after that. And then sometimes even the shutout. Sometimes even the game. Like, that can get in your head, the wheels can come off, and then it can get really ugly. But not last night. Not last night. Old Carlos, nah. He just dropped a 12-letter bomb, laughed, and went back to work.
I threw it, and it just took off like one of those snakes. And I go, oh, there goes the toe ball. And, you know, you hear that clunk. And I was like, mother. So all you can do is laugh about it. I mean, it wasn't meant to be.
Dude, this guy is incredible. I need that one more time, Alvin. That is such a great response. like, mother bleeper, there goes the toe ball. All you can do is laugh about it. It's not meant to be. The guy came this close to a perfect game, and that's his response.
I threw it, and it just took off like one of those snakes, and I go, oh, there goes the toe ball. And, you know, you hear that clunk, and I was like, mother. So all you can do is laugh about it. I mean, it wasn't meant to be.
My man. I mean, that is one of the all-time greatest responses I've ever heard from an athlete to something bad that happened. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. And then, you know, he's able to laugh at it, which I don't know how a guy like that can in that spot. It's what makes him different. But there is some mental toughness here because he came back to strike out Yu Chang on four pitches. He went ball, 95-mile-per-hour heat, strike, 95-mile-per-hour foul ball, 84-mile-per-hour slider for a backwards K. That is some hard Carl bleep. That's awesome. That's how you bounce back from losing a perfect game. But he was not still out of the woods. He had one more out, and he had to battle for that. An 8-pitch at bat that included the 98-mile-an-hour fastball, the hard Carl special, and he finally ended the at bat and the game with this.
3-2. Rodon. Oh, to third. Moncada. Rodon has thrown a no-hitter after everything he's been through. The elbow and the shoulder were supreme on April 14th, 2021.
I just thought that was such a cool moment for a dude like that. I had to lead the show with it. I had to open up with it. And that did set up that amazing interview where he said, "What's up, man? What just happened?" He had another even better line later, though, when he talked about what he's been through the last few years. The shoulder surgery, the Tommy John, when he was battling just to have something positive to say after games. He never was even in a spot where he could talk about anything positive after games until this moment.
An interview with all you guys, normal people here. And so he's like, oh, there's been some up and downs. And, you know, what's it like to go through that and go through some adversity? And it just feels good to finally sit here and tell you I dominated today, and it felt good. I've never really done that. I've never done it on this level, at least, and it feels good to say I did it.
Hell yes. Hard Carl. You did do it, dude. You did dominate. Respect. Much respect. I thought that was a great moment, and maybe even a better interview, and that's saying something when a guy throws a no-hitter. 1-800-636-8686. Y'all got to try and be responsible. I know it's going to be really hard for some of you Beavis and Butthead types. I didn't nickname the guy that. That's his nickname. I told you why that was his nickname.
What's up, man?
Then he went out and he got it done. Oh, this guy's good. This is funny. I got to admit, there's so much going on this morning. I actually forgot this. Believe it or not. I should have referenced this right off the very top. Even better than a guy throwing a no-hitter and then having a better interview after it is what this person's hitting on. Hey, Tan Man, what happened to Train Wreck Thursday? I was looking forward to seeing what this clown Rit was going to wear, knowing that he was going to be in the front row. Instead, I saw the usual nerdy four-eyed freak in the front row. Dude, no. Give me back my Train Wreck Thursday show. Signed Mario and SF.
Dude, no.
We're Matt in LA thinking smart and funny at the same time by coming up with some stupid alliterations on every call. Here's an alliteration for you, Matt. Shut the hell up and stop calling the show, you bitch-faced, billy goat-looking buffoon. I don't know if that's actually alliteration. Shut the hell up and stop calling the show, you bitch-faced, billy goat looking buffoon. I don't really see the alliteration in that. However, he has a very good point. And normally off the very top on Thursday, I acknowledge the fact that it's Trainwreck Thursday, but it's not. Look who's home. The prodigal son has returned. If I'm not mistaken, Alvin, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first Thursday you have actually worked in, what, 5 years? Dude, he's home. The prodigal son is back. And the old man is in the back row where he belongs with every tie in his drawer. Sorry about that. Alvin has come home. There are no train wreck Thursdays going forward. Carl writes, Hard Carl is my nickname. Signed, Carl in Rosemead. Yeah, we're not doing that. I told you why they glossed him Hard Carl. Carl in Rosemead's not even like a real dude. It's fake. Romy, it's the tax deadline. No! Regards, people that took an early withdrawal from their 401k to pay off their Dyson vacuum. Ashley in Nebraska. Ashley, have you become one of them? Are you one of them? You're not going to start hitting me up about Five Guys and IKEA and things like that. Contractors. Ashley, I'm here to tell you something, Ash. You mind if I call you Ash? You get your own brand, Ashley. Don't get sucked in by the others. Man, walk to the beat of your own like you normally do, Ashley. Rome Slice, happy tax day. We are receiving a pretty healthy refund this year. The interest paid on my terrible purchase is tax deductible. Regards, Dyson vacuum owners. Covered this a million times. I know how these things start. I no longer ask, man, how the hell do these things start? I know how they start. Hey, Jim, Edelman to the Hall of Fame? Yeah. And we're reliable and fairly priced. Regards, Dyson vacuums. Mike in Buffalo, unwore people who close the refrigerator door with their hip. You know, honestly, I don't even know what kind of a vacuum we have at home. And I'm not trying to flex on anybody. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm not judging anybody. I don't even know. I mean, I may even have one. Hey, Rome, vacuum much? No. No, I do a lot of things. No, I'm sorry I don't. I could, I would, I might, but I don't right now. All right, in addition to it, I want to talk some association. Luca and Steph doing Luca and Steph things. Straight stupidity. Something that I also want to reset, and I literally could have started the show with it. It's that good and that important to me. Had a guy not thrown a no-hitter and then chased out with an even better interview, I probably would have started the show with a reset of Jungle legend Chris Beard and his performance on the show yesterday. You know I'm going to get there. Also from the association, sad and scary note, LaMarcus Aldridge retires suddenly, and I want to get into that. In addition to those things, I mentioned Ben Askren is the guest on Jim Rohn Podcast episode 170. Man, he was so good. So, so good. And I'm going to set that up for you too. And Nacho Man. Not the Macho Man, the Nacho Man. I have that for you too. We are open in hour number one. You want to pick up the phone, you want to hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing. So when you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you are talking to somebody who's not just sitting there waiting for their turn to speak, but you're talking to somebody who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you. They're ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. In other words, our advisors listen so you know your small business needs have been heard. What you want to do is call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That phone number is 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
All right, once again, I got James Conner coming up the top of hour number two. So that's about 35 minutes out. Daniel Ponce de Leon of the Cards coming up at 10:40. Landon Dickerson coming up in hour number three. And the phone lines are open right now. All right, so yesterday, the new men's head basketball coach at Texas and first ballot, Jungle Hall of Famer, Chris Beard, swung right on through. And he relived and shared with us how he was offered that gig at UT. Now, the story goes that he and the AD went to breakfast together to break bread. Except He and the AD did not find some local greasy spoon, not even a Starbucks. Hell, they didn't even get out of the car. And again, we're talking about a breakfast to discuss the job opening at the University of Texas. And they went to breakfast, didn't even get out of the car. Because the fact is, they were not just breaking any kind of bread. They were breaking toasted English muffins passed through a drive-thru window at none other than Mickey D's. Listen to this.
Jim, you know my background. I mean, if there's anything wrong with McDonald's, I don't know about it. Drive-thru was efficient. The coffee was on point. And anybody that tells you they don't like an Egg McMuffin is not telling you the truth. I mean, who doesn't like an Egg McMuffin? I feel strongly about that. I don't care what neighborhood you're from, what age bracket you're in. If you're not down with the Egg McMuffin, you're not a truth teller.
See, generally I would say there is no such thing as a perfect take. I've been doing this for decades, and every single day I'm in pursuit of the perfect take. I've never found it. It does not exist. At least it didn't until yesterday. Because that right there is, unequivocally and utterly, the perfect take. 22 seconds of gospel. If I did Mount Takemore Radio, which I don't, but if I did, that piece of sound would be all four faces carved into the side of the mountain. Because Chris Beard is right. He's right about everything he just said. The Egg McMuffin is such a perfect breakfast sando that I actually started to refer to McDonald's as McCrackies back in the day. Because that thing is like a rock of snow straight to the bloodstream. It just is. Now, there is a distinction to be made. Understand what I'm saying here and understand what I'm not saying. There is a big difference between McDonald's breakfast and McDonald's everything else. We're talking two different restaurants, two different types of food, really, two different experiences, two different restaurants. One is a heavenly experience. The other is straight up hell. Remember yesterday when somebody emailed in during the What's Your Beef segment and said that they had a beef with the double drive-through line at McCracky's because it creates an awkward stare down and a standoff between two rigs and who gets to go or who just wants to get the hell out of there, right? The reason for that standoff and the reason it's so awkward is because nobody wants to be caught dead, alive, or even seen in a McDonald's line during daylight hours. You don't want that. Why do you think it's so awkward? You want to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. You do not want to be seen. You do not want to be seen at a McDonald's drive-thru or really within a mile of a McDonald's in broad daylight. There is so much shame in the shadows of the Golden Arches. In other words, going to McDonald's for lunch or dinner is admitting defeat. It's admitting it. Your impulses got the better of you, and now you are a sitting duck in the drive-thru for the entire world to gawk at. And once you're in there, there's no getting out, right? You might decide, no, I got this. It's not going to happen. I'm not giving in. Yeah, you are. There's nowhere to go. You're boxed. You would rather be caught, listen to what I'm saying. You would rather be caught with a hooker walking out of a motel than at a McDonald's drive-thru when the menu changes to burgers and fries. All right? Now, the breakfast experience is something totally different. In fact, it's almost like glamorous, high life, classy, sophisticated, awesome. Everyone is so happy to be there because they know that the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is a freaking Egg McMuffin. You don't believe me, you ask Chris Beard. There's no shame in that. There's no embarrassment in getting caught with a McMuffin. In fact, you're all up in here flossing with it, aren't you? And you should. In fact, you should flaunt that thing if you have it. This is why Adam Sandler's character in Big Daddy got so pissed off when he was late getting to Crackies for the Egg Mac and he missed his chance to order it before the lunch menu did in fact flip over.
Sorry, sir, we stopped serving breakfast.
What are you talking about? We're 4 seconds late.
No, you're 30 minutes and 4 seconds late. We stopped serving breakfast at 10:30.
Ah, horse!
Hey, what's my Egg McMuffin?
Breakfast is over at 10:30.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was 11.
I thought that too.
Listen, one more thing to point out. There is a monumental difference as well between the Egg McMuffin and the Sausage McMuffin. And we all know that too. The Sausage McMuffin is the low rent little brother of the Egg McMuffin. It's still good. It's fine. It's not great. But give me a hockey puck of Canadian bacon all day long over the great equalizer-inducing sausage patty. There's a reason why McCracky's is constantly putting the sausage mac on special. Have you ever seen the Egg McMuffin being sold for some 2-for-4 gimmick? Hell no. Nor will you ever see that because they don't have to. Giving another example. Remember Keith Arnold, a.k.a. Chael Jr., a.k.a. Batman, a.k.a. Pepperoni Nipples. Remember that cat?
I don't even have big nipples. Like, let's be real.
Really? Then why are the clones constantly talking about it, Chael? Chael's a good dude. Chael is a good dude. Good dude, smart dude, athletic dude, and he's known as a guy for having pepperoni nipples. But you know what? It's actually unfair because Keith Arnold did two things around here really well. First, whenever a new piece of furniture or anything at all requiring assembly showed up here in the studio, my man crushed it. Like, dude was like Bob Villa for his noble efforts. And the second thing he was known for was randomly bringing in McCracky's. And understand this about Keith. Good dude, man. Good, good dude. And even though I never asked for crackies, he would still swoop me an Egg Mac, drop it on my desk every now and then, and it'd be waiting when I showed up for work. I always pretended to be pissed that he was throwing off my routine, jacking with my diet, giving me some seriously horrible fuel that I needed to run on, and I knew that I would be in an Egg McMuffin coma by the second hour of the show. That said, and I knew all that, I still inhale that like the Dyson vacuum that I am. Everybody else would too. Because what I'm saying is, that Sando is crack. Crack on a toasted English muffin. And I kind of miss old Pep Nips randomly showing up with that bag of crack. That, and I do need him to assemble a brand new desk for me. Chris Beard said, quote, "If you're not down with the Egg McMuffin, you're not a truth teller." I'm here to back him up. That is 100% correct. That take yesterday did not get the run that it deserved because we had a lot of show. But I had to reset it today because it was that good. Almost as good as the Egg Mac itself. Alvin, I think I would like to hear that take one more time. I don't do Mount Take more, but if I did, this take would be all four faces.
Jim, you know my background. I mean, if there's anything wrong with McDonald's, I don't know about it. Drive-thru was efficient. The coffee was on point. And anybody that tells you they don't like an Egg McMuffin is not telling you the truth. I mean, who doesn't like an Egg McMuffin? I feel strongly about that. I don't care what neighborhood you're from, what age bracket you're in. If you're not down with the Egg McMuffin, you're not a truth teller.
I'll tell you something else. If you think this guy's not going to get it done in Texas, you're not a truth teller. You don't know. You just don't know. My man, Chris Beard. Like I said, there was so much going on yesterday. That take did not get the run that it deserved. I want to make sure that I rectify that today. And I did. What a great hire by Texas. They're getting themselves a hell of a guy and a great coach. 1-800-636-8686. Again, I mentioned it yesterday, and I want to get into it. Ben Askren is fighting Jake Paul. And on the surface, that's something that should not interest me or anybody else. But then I took a little bit of a deeper dive with it. I kept an open mind. And then I started to get more and more interested. By the time I finished that conversation yesterday with Ben Askren, I couldn't wait for the fight to start. Like, I'll be throwing down. Not only am I not against it, I will pay for it. I will pay full price for it, and I will watch it. And it can't come soon enough. I've got that also coming up for you. Hit me with a... Yeah.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so quickly, guaranteed phone calls this hour. As SoCal Jeff tweets, Ritt is the sausage McMuffin, Alvy is the egg McMuffin. Hitman Canadians in. Preach Beard. Signed, Brian McRibber. Rome. War oval-shaped hash browns. Craig, in the Blue Water area. All right, I did say I guarantee telephone calls this segment, so let's get it. We go to Cleveland. Rusty in C-Town. Rusty, what's going on with you?
Jim Rome. Spring is in the air, baseball season in full swing. How about them Cleveland Indians there, eh, buddy? I gotta tell ya, when they put me on house arrest for violating parole last week, I thought my life was over. Turns out, sitting at home, never missing a game, is not that bad. Who knew that Justin Bieber kid could sing and pitch? Better yet, Jim Rome, I've had a little time to do some science-type stuff in the basement, if you know what I mean. Well, I gotta go, Jim. Sounds like the DoorDash guy is here with my Egg McMuffin, or that's the fire marshal with the hazmat team. War Lake Erie, I'm out.
Why do I think that that dude is not in Cleveland? Why do I think that that dude's name really isn't Rusty? Why do I think that that dude's doorbell did not ring? Because every time that guy calls, that doorbell just happens to ring in the middle of the call. What a coinkydink. That Bieber kid is a Cy Younger and a Gaucho. Don't forget it. All right. Let's go to the ABQ. Generally, if I'm going to the ABQ, on the other end of the line is the REX. Hello, Rex.
Hey, Jimmy. That was a good read by Rusty. But I want to know why people are piling on Dyson. Did they produce some of the most advanced products ever created? You know, for instance, you have that normal hand dryer in the public bathroom where the residual fecal matter is sent downwards to the floor. However, you know, you got the Dyson Airblade when it's blown up into the air, which is what I prefer, because when you're leaving the bathroom, you are showered with residual fecal particulate.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
So, we go to the ABQ to check in with the REX, and he brings to me the RFM, residual fecal matter. Yeah, that's great, Rex. Thanks for coining that phrase. I got no one to blame but me. Why did I think that going to the phones was a good idea? It clearly wasn't. Got James Conner coming up at the top of the hour, Arizona Cardinals running back. I've got Daniel Ponce de Leon of the Cards coming up next hour. Landon Dickerson coming up in hour number three. So this Saturday, former MMA champ and Olympic wrestler Ben Askren is going to make his comeback to combat sports. The comeback is a celebrity boxing match against a YouTube star named Jake Paul. Trust me, I can feel the collective eye roll coast to coast right now. I get it. I understand it. Like on the surface, everything about this feels super gimmicky, and it feels like it's really beneath an elite athlete like Askren. Hell, I gotta be honest. On the surface, it feels like it's beneath all of us, athlete or not. I get it. However, if you open up your mind to it and you take a hard look at it and you get past the whole Jake Paul thing, there's actually some intrigue here. In fact, a lot of intrigue. So I ran down Ben Askren for the latest episode of the Jim Rome podcast. I had him lay it out for me. I had him lay his side of this out for me. Like, why would this guy unretire for something like this? Why would a guy who had hip replacement surgery not that long ago roll off his couch and take this fight against this guy? Why would Ben do that? He's not a boxer. He's actually never boxed in his life except for when he was in high school messing around with his friends. You could also argue that Jake Paul really is not a boxer either. Not a legitimate one. I mean, the dude knocked out Nate Robinson and acted like he put an in-his-prime Tyson on his back. So I asked Ben, why do you think they chose you? And then why did you say yes?
I can also zoom out and go to a 30,000 foot lens. And it's like, hey, if I wanted to pick someone who could give me some legitimacy, someone who's a real fighter, who would I pick? Well, Ben Askren, he's smaller than me. He's retired. He just had hip surgery sitting on the couch, and he was never known as a good striker in the first place. Like, yeah, that's the guy I'm going to pick. Like, I get it. I totally get it. And, you know, maybe it's a good strategy on his part, or maybe I'm just a little better than he's going to expect. And listen, either way, I'm walking away with a big chunk of change. So Monday morning, my bank account's going to be a lot larger. And I never told anyone I was a great boxer. I never did that, right? So to me, this is fun. Like, I'm just going to show up, I'm going to box someone like I did all those Friday nights in high school. And I think there's a decent chance I kick his ass. Hey, if he's really good at boxing, maybe it won't go so well for me. And then you know what? Monday night, I start coaching wrestling again in my academies again, and my life's outstanding.
In other words, win-win for both. Like, if Jake Paul wins that fight, he can say he beat a combat sports champ in a boxing match. If Jake Paul loses that, he can say, the hell would you expect? He's a professional mixed martial artist. I'm a YouTube celebrity. As for Ben, if he wins, he's a hero to a lot of people who hate Jake Paul's guts. And there are a lot of people who hate that guy. If he loses, though, he'll just tell you, I don't care. What do I care? I've never boxed. I just had hip surgery, and I got paid more for that than any fight that I ever had in MMA. And then he'll just go back to his life. He'll go back to being a wrestling coach and a guy following crypto. Like, the thing is, the great thing about Ben, what you see is what you get with Askren, and what you get is the real, and I respect the hell out of that. Now, if you know anything at all about Jake Paul, you know this dude runs his mouth nonstop, and he has said some things that are pretty jacked up about Ben, but none of it gets to Askren, because Askren just straight up does not respect Jake or his brother, Logan.
He's trying to come off as this really big, tough guy. And it's like, this is literally what the only thing I've known my whole life, right? I started wrestling at age 5, and wrestlers now with mixed martial arts have proven to be the toughest people in the world. I made it to the top of that world, winning NCAA titles and making the Olympics. And then I went into mixed martial arts for almost a decade. And same thing, is like, these are some of the toughest people in the world. And like, the fact that Jake Paul thinks he's going to intimidate me is hilarious. And then on top of that, and this is kind of like you said, like, why are they popular? And I'm older and I don't get it either. I don't find them to be particularly funny or talented in any way, shape, or form. I think they're always grabbing like the lowest hanging fruit. And to me, that's kind of pathetic. Like, people who I think like a Chael Sonnen, who's a great trash talker, he will say things that maybe you're not expecting, right? Or that you didn't see coming, or things that go together really well. And with Jake Paul, it's just like, if I was a 13-year-old, that's probably what I would say.
All right, so there are a lot of ways to talk junk, but calmly calling someone and their brother, quote, not funny and not talented, is one of the better ways to talk junk. Just so matter of fact. By now, you probably should be getting the vibe that Ben is not out here yelling all sorts of predictions, guaranteeing victory like some typical blowhard, trying to promote a fight. In fact, when I asked him for a prediction, he admitted it really could go either way.
The result for me is kind of whatever. I get paid the same amount no matter what. I don't intend to be a boxer. So whether I win or lose, my life looks kind of the same. I'm going to go in there and fight really hard. And if he's not all that good, I'm probably going to beat him. And if he's really, really good, I might take an ass whooping. So that's kind of how I'm thinking about it. But at the end of the day, I'm not a boxer, right? I never have been. So it's like, it's not like you're saying, hey, I'm doing mixed martial arts, or hey, I'm doing wrestling, something that I would have a lot of pride in because of the amount of effort and amount of time I've spent on those things, which is like, you know, a decade on one and about 15 years on the other. I've been boxing for 11 weeks. So there has to be a recognition of what skill level you are. Now, we don't know where Jake's at. So like I said, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to fight hard. And if he's not that good, which that's probably where I guess, right? I'd probably guess, hey, this guy's not very good. If he's not that good, I'm going to kick his ass. Man, if he's a really good boxer, I'm going to have a long night probably.
I mean, not exactly Conor McGregor before his fight with Floyd Mayweather. But Askren is not pretending to be anybody that he's not. And I actually respect that. I appreciate that kind of candor. It's refreshing, especially in the fight game. Like, Jake Paul's out here telling people he's going to wreck Askren's career. He's going to end his career, which is pretty weird because Askren ended his own career when he retired in 2019. So, I don't know how you say that you're going to end something when that thing is already over. But that's what he's saying. And in the meantime, Askren's just like, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, except I know this. My bank account is going to be a lot bigger when I wake up on Sunday. I've got more thoughts on that, too. Really quickly, some reaction. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, these Paul brothers are an insult to Jake's and Logan's everywhere. You know, I hadn't even put that together. That is kind of funny. Those two dudes have the same first names as my two dudes. Jake Rome, Logan Rome. Logan. Jake Paul, Logan Paul. That's weird, right? I hadn't even thought about that. And then how about a one-syllable last name, too? I mean, does that mean I've got to root for Jake Paul? Jake and his brother Logan? My two kids' names are Jake and Logan. Anyway, Ben. Ben was really good on all of that and really good on other things, including that knee that he took from Jorge Masvidal. And I'll reset that part for you a little bit later on. I mean, are you into the fight? Are you going to watch the fight? Would you pay for that fight? And I'm going to answer that question myself. Yes, I'm into it, believe it or not. I mean, this is not like a paid promotion. Not only am I into it and will I watch it, I will pay for it myself. I'm actually pretty curious. When we come back, James Conner, new running back for the Arizona Cardinals, joins us. That's coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686.